circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to share with you what the late, great Dr. C.A.W. Clark said to preachers. He said, every Sunday morning, there's somebody who come who's hurting, who's discouraged, who's despondent, who's depressed, who needs to know that there is a word from the Lord. And I want to just share, I want to take a personal privilege, a moment to share how I spent so much time in the word of the Lord, especially with what is known as one of the favorite psalms of the word. And it's the 23rd psalm. I know you all know it, so you don't have to stand up now. Just stand in your hearts to the Lord, this word. Because this word is so important, and I just want to share with you how meditating on the word, how it encouraged me, how it blessed me. And we just usually run through the word, and there's so much God wants to say to us. There are so many things that he desires to reveal to us. And if you spend a little time with him, you'll see him in his word. And Psalm 23 was one of those psalms that I went back to over and over and over and over again. And every time I went back to it, he showed me something different. He said something different. He revealed something different. So if you will, just turn your Bibles to the 23rd Psalms and let us look in it together. When it starts off saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The first thing that impressed me about the way this psalm has really interacted in my life is looking at King David, who was a shepherd boy, who had been promoted to the king by the Lord, by all that he had in his heart for God. God saw it, and God elevated him because of his love and desire to follow after God. And so when you look at this word and this phrase, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, and then move to his present ability to act, perform, move, and minister is, there are so many things that the Lord still is for the believers today. When I just went through that psalm and I looked at it like this, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Who? The Lord. I shall not want. He, the Lord, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He, the Lord, leadeth me beside the still waters. He, the Lord, restoreth my soul. He, the Lord, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his, the Lord's, name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, the Lord, rod and thou the Lord's staff, they comfort me. Thou the Lord preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou the Lord anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I realized David incorporated the Lord at the beginning, in the middle, and the end. Essentially, in every verse, the Lord was right there. Can I tell somebody, the closer you keep the Lord to you, the more successful you will be, because when the Lord is on your side, nothing, well, let me put it this way. Paul said, if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? So the first thing I looked at the supreme shepherd. Somebody say the supreme shepherd. I'm not going to be long. I'm almost through. The second thing I saw was the shepherd's sheep. The shepherd's sheep. Now, here, when we look at the shepherd's sheep, notice David is making clear something else that's quite important. Every time he goes back through that psalm, Psalms 1 through 6 in this 23rd psalm, he sees himself, who was a shepherd, as a sheep of the Lord. Now, what I need to make clear to you is that the Lord can't be your shepherd if you can't be his sheep. It might seem simple and elementary, and it may not make sense, but here is the point. He can't be your shepherd if you will not surrender and become his sheep. Humble and submitted and given to follow the Lord. The Lord don't drive sheep, he leads sheep. And sheep have got to follow him in order to receive what he has for them. Now listen at this, because when David says, the Lord is my, he refers to the Lord as my. He talks about the Lord, I, in this, because as his sheep I shall not want. He talks about me in this. He talks about how the Lord is with him in a way that nobody or nothing else could be with him. And again, he literally pulls himself to that place of being connected with God. You see, my brothers and sisters, what happens when you go through the verses and then the verses start going through you? You begin to get a revelation of my connection with God, the Lord, who is the supreme shepherd, and I am his sheep. If I am his sheep, I shall not want for anything good. Now, I might want for some things, but I guess what? They're not good. Because if they're good and I'm doing the right thing, he's going to provide them for me. And notice how many times David speaks about himself connected to the shepherd. Just go through it with me again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, wait a minute. And then I read Romans 2 and 11. And the word says, there is no respect of persons in God. Romans 2 and 11. You ought to read it sometime. Then I went on to Romans 15 and 4. And it says, for whatsoever things were written of aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. Listen now. Listen at what they're saying. Well, it might not mean anything unless you're truly studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when I went back through that psalm again, I had another revelation. Not only did I see God, the Lord, as the supreme shepherd, but then I saw in the text the shepherd's sheep. And that was David and all those who claim him. But then the third time I went through that, I saw myself, listen, as the Lord's sheep. And when I saw myself as the Lord's sheep, and not just David being the Lord's sheep, because I remembered he's no respecter of persons. And I remembered the only reason why God put that in the text is so it could remind me that what he did for David, he would do for John. And so when I began to put two and two together, I say, let me reread this psalm and do a revised edition of it. So here's my revised edition. Now, if you're smart, if you're wise, if you're paying attention, everywhere I put my name, you ought to put your name. Here we go. This is my last time with it. The Lord is John's shepherd. John shall not want. He maketh John to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth John beside the still waters. He restoreth John's soul. He leadeth John in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though John walk through the valley of the shadow of death, John will fear no evil, for thou art with John. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort John. Listen, and thou preparest a table before John in the presence of his enemies. Thou anointest John's head with oil. John's cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow John all the days of John's life. And John will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I got through with that, I started shouting, thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for showing me your greatness. Thank you for meeting my every need. Thank you for preparing a table in my presence before my enemies and blessing me and my brothers and my sisters. The word of God is real, it is alive. And if you will spend time with God, God will show you that all the things we have written in that word was meant for our learning. See, this is the problem. You read and don't learn. So it does not have the effect, because God didn't say read the word. He said study the word. And when you study the word, here is the premise: to get something out of it when you're through studying. Somebody said, well, how can you remember all of that? I don't. I study it, and then by studying it, I meditate on it. And I meditate on it day and night. And then when I get through meditating on it, I hide it in my heart. And so whenever the Holy Ghost needs a ready reference, all he has to do is go in the archives of my memory and pull up whatever he wants that's been archived there before. He can't pull up what ain't been down. Are y'all hearing me today? Some people, I know the word, but I can't quote it, because you ain't spending enough time with it. Do you know your name? How do you know your name? Because you have said your name over and over and over and over again, and you've been taught that. Well, it's no different from the word. Spend time with God. God will spend time with you. You don't have to remember it if you learn it. You will know it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Listen at this. For then, somebody say then. Brother Curtis is on it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua was told by God, you're in control of your own blessings. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous. The word didn't say God would do it. He said you'll do it. So here's what God said. Don't blame me if you're not prosperous. Because I said, if you let this word stick with you and you stick with this word, you shall make your word, listen, your way prosperous because of this word. And then you will have good success. Drop one of the O's off of good and you will have God's success. Jesus said, John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye what? Will, and it shall be done unto you. So if I don't have it, whose fault is it? If I don't study, whose fault is it? If I don't get a deeper understanding, whose fault of it? If I don't speak those things that be not as though they were, whose fault is it? If I don't claim my claim to healing, to blessings, to victory, to everything God says is mine, whose fault is it? See, it's important for you to know. You can blame other folk for what you're not getting. But when it all comes down to it, it's how much do you seek the Lord? How much time do you spend with the Lord? And then how much do you gain from the time with God? Everything that you desire, you make time for it, you spend time with it, and you keep it in both your mind and your mouth. And when those things happen, God has already said, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. The Lord doesn't have anything against you enjoying the things that he's put on earth for you to enjoy. He doesn't have a problem with you enjoying sports and recreations and wholesome things. He doesn't have a problem in the world with it. But he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, on the surface of that, many of us will think, my God, God will give me what I desire in my heart. And that's not all quite the way it really is. Because the truth of the matter is, Jeremiah has revealed to us that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So do you think God's going to give you something that's going to hurt you? Even though it's in your heart? Even though you might desire? Have you ever desired some things that wasn't good for you? Can we be honest for just a minute? You ain't got to raise your hand. I know you're playing holier than thou right now. But thanking you, have you ever desired someone that was not for you to desire? Have you ever looked at something and wanted it and knew it wasn't right for you? Can I get somebody to be real with me in the house today? Have you ever wanted something that you know God didn't want you to have? But your flesh, somebody say flesh. Your flesh said, listen. Ain't nobody looking. Ain't nobody looking. And you made a play, and even in making the play, you knew you were wrong to make the play. And then, listen, you kept on pursuing, and you kept on pursuing till you got, and then what you got made you sick or became sickening to you. God was trying to tell you it wasn't for you, but you listened to the flesh. That's why you ought to want what God wants for you. Because anything else, listen, it might be good to the flesh, but it sure ain't good for the flesh. And I've got news for you. In the end, the flesh is going to end up in hell. It's following the Spirit of God and wanting to obey him and knowing that he is your shepherd. He's been leading you from the beginning, and he will lead you to the end. Jesus says, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a whole lot of pretenders, a whole lot of performers, a whole lot of false prophets. But the only one who's going to fill you with the truth and lead you to the destination God has prepared for you is Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but the Lord is my shepherd. God bless you. The doors of the church are open, whoever you are, my brother, my sister. I want you to know that today is your day, your opportunity to surrender to the Lord, who desires to lead you and to guide you, to show you a more excellent way. But you've got to come to him and surrender your will and your way and your wishes. You've got to say, Lord, I come to you. Thy will be done in my life. I want to be what you want me to be. Sometimes you can become so frustrated with life that you don't know which way to turn. You don't know who to listen to. You don't know if there's even any sense in getting out of the bed some mornings, because the burdens are so heavy, the days are so dark, and the way seems to be non-existent. But I tell you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. If you believe in him, he will show you a more excellent way. The doors are open. Is there one? Is there one who's ready for a change in their lives, who's done it their way, and it has not ended up well? But thank God, he still permits U-turns. You can turn away from whatever you've done wrong, from wherever you've gone wrong, and say, Lord, I come, I follow you. I want to follow you. I desire to follow you. And just as you are, you can come. Whatever you're not, he will make you. But you first got to come. You can't clean fish until you catch fish.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Of Kelly's 30th anniversary. It reads, for all the prayers and support for Kelly's sitting services through the years, we say thank you. It has been a matter of joy to provide great services to clients like you. Kelly's has been fortunate enough to have loyal families as clients throughout the years and loyal employees who love and support God's people. Your dedication, sincerity, and perseverance have made a significant contribution to the continuation of this business that Kelly started 30 years ago on May 23, 1993 in Boise, Louisiana, and has extended its love to the state of Texas. Our prayer is continued blessings on your life as this agency moves forward in its mission to care for our community. To past employee alumni, again,